Morning, everyone. My name is John Cahill. I'm the IS manager for the Michigan Primary Care Association and Virtual CHC, which is our virtual hosting company. My presenter disclosures, no and no. Basically, today, overview, I'm filling in for Bruce Wiegand, who was our CIO, so forgive me if I kind of slip on some of these slides. I was just kind of put in this position. So today I'm going to talk about our virtual community health network, the virtual CHC history, go over a little bit of the EHR components and development models, our data warehouse development, and then the HIE. Currently, we have 21 members in our CHN up in Michigan. That's about 75% of the health centers in Michigan. As you can see, we have a host of EMR systems that we host in our data center in Lansing, Michigan. And also, you can see that we still have four or five health centers that have yet to make a decision on a EHR system. So that's something we're working on right now. We're trying to normalize that. We've got most of them will be using NextGen within our network, and we're working to get everybody on that. As far as hosting goes, we've been hosting for several years, but this kind of gives you a demographic of where we have customers currently, what we host. It's kind of hard to see. But it's basically around 17 states, over 100 customers. We have EMRs, practice management systems, registries such as PECS, PECS-SYS, Cielo Med Solutions. What's not depicted here is the general ledger, the MIP, the co-location. We host our data warehouse vendor, and we also host Cielo Med Solutions servers and such. We also do Microsoft Office and Exchange. This is kind of a history. I'll kind of go through this as quickly as I can. But as you can see, we started back in 1999 with the HMIS grant, and we have moved through to today where we've gone through different areas of hosting, where we went from developing our data center in 2003, moved into Chorus Hosting, CS Dart, which is our data warehouse, data tools. And starting in December, we're moving into our first large data warehouse process with the state of Arkansas. So we're actually going to take data from the EHR. Our data warehouse at this point in time has been built on the PECS data that we had from our health centers. PECS is the PECS patient electronic care system that health centers used to use back in the collaborative days, and we still have several health centers that use that. Some of the key components of the EHR, you know, these things used to be separate, but now we're combining them. So there's a lot of data that we have to capture in our warehouse in order to be able to have a robust warehouse. And as you can see, we've got patient demographics, appointments, and then we come down to the EHR, you've got the history and the allergy lists and laboratories. So the key is trying to get as much of that data into the warehouse to make the warehouse useful. We talk about clinical decision support, and what we're going to try to develop, and this is going to take a lot of work, but we're going to try to develop our warehouse to become a clinical decision support tool for the health centers. And most of the EHRs don't have this built in, and we're moving towards meaningful use. And when I look through some of the meaningful use information, we only have a requirement for one rule. If you look down here, the population-based systems such as registries like PECS, PECS-SYS, I2I systems, Cielo, they have that registry piece for population care, and there's a need for these registries. And you know, with Cielo, currently we have it running side by side with NextGen, and you can turn on as many rules as you would like. So you can go beyond that one rule for meaningful use and, you know, utilize that, but you have to have a registry piece to do that. The main components of a clinical decision support system is the knowledge base, which is basically if-then rules, if this, then that. The inference engine, which basically, what rules do we have, how are we going to execute them, that type of stuff. The mechanism to communicate, how are we going to talk to the patient or give the patient this information, is going to be via email or, you know, text message, HTML feeds, whatever it might be. The evidence-based medicine at the point of care is the key here. How can we help these providers give the best care possible at the point of care rather than waiting till the patient leaves, waiting to get the information into the system? So we're trying to develop a way to help the providers give as much information to the patient right there in the room as they possibly can. E-prescribing systems, they do have some clinical decision support, but it's not what it needs to be. You have the drug-to-drug and the drug formulary stuff, but it can't tell you drug-to-lab. It can't look at lab and say, you know, you need to maybe think about prescribing this drug. And a lot of the EHR vendors, and I know I sound like I'm bashing the EHR vendors, I'm not really, but they mislead, saying that you can use reminders as a CDS functionality or E&M coding. Well, you have to program those things in. They're not built in. You have to take the time to do it, and the E&M is a billing function. So,
you have to touch every
record. Exactly. So, it's a painful process. And it's a frustrating process. And we try, and we, you know, with our customers, we try to help them through that process as far as being able to sit down and maybe talk to the vendors with them to ask those questions. This is a pretty powerful statement, pretty straightforward. I'll give you a second to read it. The traditional data warehouse, basically the data warehouses were created around shared data for local, state, federal, et cetera. You know, they're developed with grant money. The majority of the data has been UDS or financial. And they don't provide as much benefit as they could. And that's, again, a function of getting what kind of data are you getting in there, and is it good data, and that type of stuff. And that builds the value proposition. Before, the value proposition wasn't there, which translates to being unable to maintain it. Once the funding runs out, you can't maintain it. Data warehouses cost money. We have to be able to sustain it, but we've got to provide the proper information to the health centers or to our health center control networks or whatever to make them feel like this is something they want to continue. So maintaining it has been a problem because of the cost involved. Some of the key propositions of data warehouse: patient-level data, capturing that data, evidence-based clinical services, trending, decreasing the redundancy, the normalization of the data. We're looking at an HIE light functionality, in other words, be able to take the data in from the health centers, no matter what system you're using, bring it into the warehouse, and be able to take that data and send it to, in Michigan, our immunization is called MICR, so be able to send that data to MICR, be able to send it to the state HIE, and so on. So that's what I mean by HIE light. We're also moving into looking at it as a disaster recovery or continuity planning piece for the health centers too. So that gives them a peace of mind that their data is safe just in case their system goes down or something. This is our current data warehouse configuration. As you can see up there at the top, we can take pretty much any type of file. Right now, some of the slides I'll be showing you is based on PECS data. So that's flat file, but we can take HL7, and we're currently testing that XML using a CCR, the continuity care record format, from an EHR. And this kind of explains how the data comes in. It's extracted into our MARTs. We've normalized the data and refresh our cubes. We're in OLAP cubes. And then the health centers will have access to it via the web using a smart client or our web viewer tools that we have for our warehouse. And these next few slides are just some examples of our analysis services piece and the ease of use. We can pretty much drag and drop any type of data we want in here and produce graphs or download to spreadsheets, however you want to do it. As you can see, we can drag and drop whatever we want over into our groups, and we can break the data down, and then from that we can produce the graphs and such. And we can also save these as templates so that once you create a report that you want to see on a regular basis, you can save it as a template. We can also go in and we can create dashboards based on this information also for a health center, so specific dashboarding tools are available. We can filter down by any data piece that's in there. We can drill down on that. We can drill down as far as you want to go on that, break it down. Here's an example of filtering by gender and insurance. This kind of gives you a breakdown, but this just kind of shows you the data that we can get with our current warehouse. And again, this is based on the PECS data that we have in there. And this, the traditional aggregate reporting, this is something we turned out for George Washington University on a study we did. They wanted to do on our diabetic patients in our warehouse. So this kind of, we broke it down by years. We developed some SQL store procedures to run this data for us, and then we produced the spreadsheets and such for them. And then we even went as far as breaking it down by gender, race, insurance, comorbidities, and such. So the data's there. Do you want to wait for questions at the end, or? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So that, and then you can pull out all their records and say, see how they all compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we're working on enhancing with the data we're getting out of the EHRs. We'll have more flexibility at that. The data with the PECS data that comes out is not real clean, but the data we're bringing over from the EHRs is a lot cleaner, a lot thinner, it's a lot easier to work with, so that is something we will improve. And we can do that here. It takes a lot of work with the PECS data, and it may not come out exactly right. HIE implementations. Currently, some statistics show that 80% of the patient health information is not available electronically. So there's questions out there as to why there's so much money going into an HIE versus putting more money into HIT, getting people to e-prescribing, getting people to registry the EHR function. And some of the things we've heard and some of the grumblings is the amount of money it costs to go to do this HIE development and such, and it may threaten its sustainability, but we're not sure. We have to look to our leaders, and the health centers are our leaders. And they're not, you know, the HIEs are not yet available in most communities. I don't know how it is here in Colorado. I know in Michigan it's not available as of yet. And the interoperability, as you'll see in the next slide, it costs money to do this. I mean, it takes a lot of money to make all this stuff come together. And so you're looking at performance, money for performance, system performance costs money, network performance, staff resources, takes more staff to do this type of stuff. I'm just going to kind of pull this up here. The almighty dollar sign. Okay? Basically, with everything, you have to have an interface So you want to interface with your labs. You want to interface with your hospitals. All these different interfaces. Then you come out to the community HIE and then to the state HIE. Everything we do costs money. And it, as you see, it just the budget just keeps expanding. And the money's just not there. So we have to think of different ways to do this. This is the current reality, and it's a very busy slide. But everybody's going this way. Everybody's got their own interface, and they're doing this and this and this. So that's, you look at that, and your eyes go cross. So that's just something we need to look at. Again, big dollar sign coming up there. So how does the saying go? We put the cart before the horse. This is the continuity of care record and the continuity of care document, CCD 32. This is what we're looking at and we're testing currently with our warehouse, what we're bringing in. But we can pick what we need off that document to run our, to get the data that we want. And here's a sample, an actual sample of our CCR report that we're using right now, and I'll just kind of scroll down. But you can see all the information that's on there that we can pick and choose to develop our reports and such. This is how we look. This is the virtual community health network in Michigan. This is what virtual CHC. We have different systems, NextGen, Allscripts, MicroMD, Clinical Works, soon to have GE customers and such, all under one roof in our data center. And as you see down at the bottom, we've got Dentrix, PEX, Cielo, what have you. Basically, everything, we're developing these interfaces. Everything comes into the interface engines. We'll go out to the hospitals eventually, go up to the HIEs eventually, into our warehouse. It's a lot leaner. It's a lot more secure. It never leaves our warehouse, never leaves the data center. So the data never goes outside. It's all protected, and it's a lot cheaper for the health centers to be able to do this because it's less staff that they have to hire to do this type of stuff. Less vendor, they don't have to hire the vendors to create these interfaces because we're already working on the interfaces. Once the interfaces are built, they're built. All we have to do is put the pieces on your system. And the shrinking dollar costs less money. And that's the key, and that's what we're trying to help our customers do, is that, plus the security aspect and, that type of stuff. And that's it.